The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
A pastor asked me to preach on the subject of preparing for a missions conference. I was more than happy to do that. As I began to think about preparation for a meeting, God brought to my mind a passage in Acts chapter 10. You turn to that, would you? Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, we find the preparation and then the results of a great meeting. And I trust that each of you are praying already for a great mission conference. I've seen the bulletin and all of the missionaries that are coming and all those things and so forth. And I truly believe that it is going to be a great meeting, and I trust that all of us are already trying to prepare ourselves. So as we look at this passage tonight, Acts chapter 10, you have your Bibles open. You'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. And as we read just that verse, we read that here is a very important man, okay? And then as we began to look at it, we find the kind of man that he was. Verse 2 says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here at Lancaster Baptist Church tonight. I thank you, dear Lord, for all that you're doing for and through this great church. And I pray, dear Lord, as we look forward to Sunday and or even Saturday night for that matter, and the beginning of the mission conference for 2012, I pray, dear Lord, that already we have begun to prepare our own selves for this great conference. And I pray, dear God, some great things will happen, not for the glory or honor of the church, not for the glory and honor of the people that will participate, but for the honor and glory of you yourself. And you said in your word, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. And Lord, I believe that all of the planning and everything that's been done has been done with that very thing in mind, that thou would be glorified. Now bless in the message tonight. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In chapter 10 in the book of Acts, we have one of the most significant transitions in world evangelization. Even though a great number of Jewish people were being saved, the gospel was not being offered to the Gentiles. Now, if you think about the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. Other times the disciples were multiplied. Other times 5,000 were added and so forth. So in reality, a great number of people had come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But 10 years after that, we find the gospel still just being preached to the Jewish people. In spite of the fact that just before his ascension, Jesus said to his disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So it was very obvious of all to, when we look at all of the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, that he intended for the gospel to be preached to all people all over the world. In the next chapter, chapter 11, we find some of the believers that were scattered from Jerusalem because of the persecution who went to Antioch. And when they got to Antioch, they began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And at Antioch, we find the first predominantly Gentile church. So in chapter 10 and chapter 11, there is a great transition. In other words, before that, the gospel was just preached to the Jewish people. After this, the gospel is preached to all the people. Since this meeting in chapter 10 was such a significant meeting, let us look for a few minutes tonight at the preparation for the meeting. Beginning Sunday, we will have a very significant meeting here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I think any of us that have been members of Lancaster Baptist Church for any time come to the realization that we don't just have meetings for the sake of having meetings, okay? Dr. Chapel has always had a purpose for any kind of meeting that we have. And I believe that this coming missions conference will be a very significant conference. The fact is, the fate of countless souls around the world depend on what will happen in this meeting. You've heard me say this time after time after time. A mission conference is a local church in business meeting deciding the fate of the heathen. What happens during this conference will determine whether some people hear the gospel and have an opportunity to be saved, or whether they live all of their lives and never have an opportunity to hear the gospel. A mission conference, think about it seriously. A mission conference, a local church, Lancaster Baptist Church, in business meeting. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be determining the fate of heathen people all over the world. Notice some of the things that were evident in this great meeting in chapter 10. First of all, we find that prayer was very evident. And by the way, every great endeavor for God begins with prayer. Somebody has well said, we can do more after we pray, but we cannot do more before we pray than to pray. So let's look, number one, at the prayer of Cornelius. Look at, if you will, in verses 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, one that had rule over 100 people, of the band called the Italian band. Notice some things about Cornelius. The Bible says here he was a devout man. In other words, he took time every day to talk to God, the only gods that he knew, and so forth. But somewhere along the line, he came to the realization that there was a God much bigger than the gods that he had been worshiping. He was a devout man. Not only that, he was a man who feared God. That means that he believed that God would do what he said he would do. That God is who that he is. And Cornelius was a man that respected God. I often hear so many things in our television programs and our newscasts, and as we listen to people, that people, even in our own country, who have absolutely no regard whatsoever for the God of the universe. The sad thing is, they'll always say at the end, God bless America, and they don't believe anything that God says. And they do not respect God. They do not reverence God. They do not fear God. Yet Cornelius was a man who feared and respected God. Then we notice again that he was a generous man. The Bible says a devout and one that feared God with all of his house, and he gave much alms to the people. In other words, he did not hold tightly to that which he had. No doubt, he was a rather prosperous man, but he did not hold tightly that which he had. He was willing to use it for others. Then again, we realize that he was a seeking man. a seeking man. He was seeking something that he did not have. And the marvelous thing is, God heard him. So many times we say, God does not hear the prayers of sinners. God does not answer the prayer of sinners. And I cannot prove this, okay? But from the depth of my heart, I believe it. If there's anywhere, anybody, anywhere in the world that follows the light that they have and is really wanting to know the true and living God, that one way or another, God will get the message to him. One good example of this is the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading the Word of God. He, no doubt, he was seeking. And God, the Holy Spirit, sent a man. And he found him there in the chariot reading the Word of God. And the man asked him, "Understandeth what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man show me?" And God sent somebody to show him. You remember when I interpreted a message for Brother Sogoto Ogawa in our mission conference 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know how many people told me what a good job I did. They did not know Japanese. They do not know if I done good or not, okay? I mean, Brother Ogawa could have said one thing and I said something totally different. You would not have known that, okay? But I'll never forget the illustration that Brother Ogawa used. And he talked about over here in Osaka, Japan, there was a young man in college contemplating suicide, searching for something. And over in Illinois, there was a young preacher. You say, "Who in the world was that?" Brother says. Now, don't be surprised that I was young one time, okay? I mean, after all, everybody was young one time, all right? And yeah, and okay, you remember the illustration. And he said, "You know, God sent this preacher to Osaka, and I heard the gospel, and I got saved. And thank God he's been preaching the gospel all these years, doing a wonderful, wonderful job." So here is Cornelius praying. And then notice what happened. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he saith unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." God saw a seeking heart. And God saw a way for that seeking heart to find out about Jesus Christ. Notice what verse said. "Now send to Joppa, about 30 miles away, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." Think about this for a minute. Why didn't that angel preach the gospel to him? The bottom line is, angels can't preach the gospel. The rich man, when he died and went to hell, begged Abraham that he would send Lazarus back to preach the gospel to his people. But he found out that dead men cannot preach the gospel. And we thank God for the people that ministered in past generation. But only living believers have a right to preach the gospel. And thank God we have that great privilege in our generation as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to get the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth. But in spite of all the good things we've said about Cornelius up to this point, he was a lost man who needed salvation. And by the way, the Bible says very plainly, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Before Cornelius could get saved and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, somebody had to come and tell him. Now notice again the prayer of Peter. The prayer of Peter. Several things we know about Peter. Number one, he was an apostle of the Lord. One of the chosen 12 who had from the very beginning walked with the Lord and for 3.5 years fellowshipped with him, saw all the wonderful things God did, witnessed the resurrection. And you remember Peter. He might have had a lot of flaws, but thank God he always came back to the Lord. And I think on the day of Pentecost, when he preached and 3,000 people got saved in one day, a great man of God, an apostle of the Lord, a courageous man. When it came to get the Lord Jesus Christ, he was willing to defend the Lord with the sword. And of course, the Lord taught him that that was not the way as his kingdom was to be. He was a spirit-filled man. Peter, listening to God, willing to do what God wanted him to do. And then Peter, a man of prayer. It was his custom. Look a little bit farther over in the chapter and look at verse 9. The men that Cornelius sent to inquire of Peter are on their way. And now we find Peter praying. Look at verse 9. And on the morrow, the next day after Cornelius had seen this vision and had sent the man. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, about noon, mealtime, okay? He goes up and he prays. Praying was something that Peter did regularly. In other words, it was not just something that every once in a while when you need something or when you're in some dire situation that you pray. No. It was a custom for Peter to pray. The Bible gives us several exhortations to pray. Listen to a couple of them. And he spake a parable unto them, Luke 18:1. He spake a parable unto them to this end. What's this statement? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Notice the not to faint. Men ought to pray and faint. By the way, if we are continually praying, we will not faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You say, well, Brother Sisk, you can't just kneel on your knees and put your hands in the right position and pray all the time, but you can be in communion with God at all times. Regardless of where you are, you can be thinking about and submissive to God. So he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Again, in the Old Testament, one of the great exhortations for prayer. And in Jeremiah 33:3, these words, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I hope you'll underline those words in your Bible and in your notes if they happen to be printed in the notes. I will show you great and mighty things. And as we prepare to enter a missionary conference, I hope that we're not saying, okay, it's conference time, we'll attend, the meeting will be over Tuesday night, that'll be the end of that. No. We ought to be looking forward to it and praying and asking God to make it a great conference, that God can give us an unbelievable, significant, impacting meeting during the missionary conference. Listen to another one. I love this statement. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Psalms 81:10. Open thy mouth wide. In other words, God is saying, I am a big God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I can do big things. Open your mouth wide. And we ought to begin to pray even now. God, do a big work in our midst. Cornelius' prayer, Peter's prayer. But here's what I really want us to zero in tonight. My prayer for this conference. My prayer for this conference. And prayer is basically what determines what kind of conference that we really have. What are some of the things that I should begin seriously praying about for the coming missionary conference? Number one, I need to pray for myself. And this is for every one of us. We need to pray for ourselves. In Psalms 129, beginning with verse 23, we have these words. Wouldn't it be something if this would be the prayer of every one of us tonight? Look at it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Take just a minute tonight and think. Are you really willing to say to God, dear God, search me, try me, see if there's anything in my heart that would be a hindrance to Lancaster Baptist Church being a great impact for world evangelization? Let's be honest with ourselves tonight. When we ask God to search our heart, may he not in some of our hearts find pride? Oh, others may go to the mission field, but not me. I'm too good for that. Really? May he not find indifference in some of our hearts? Well, Brother Sisk, it's all I can do to take care of myself. I can't think about a lost and dying world, 7.1 billion people. Two-thirds of them have never heard the gospel message, but I have too much to think about on my own self to think about all of the others. May you not find some indifference in some of our hearts? You heard about the two Christians speaking to one another, and one of them said to the other one, what do you think is the greatest problem in our church? Ignorance or apathy? And the other one replied and said, I don't know and I don't care. May he find in some of our hearts greed. I mean, these are some of the things that would hinder Lancaster Baptist Church from being all that she can be to impact this lost and dying world with the gospel message. Maybe there would be some selfishness. Would you dare tonight to ask God, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me? Secondly, we should pray for those who Pastor and Brother Furso have invited to this meeting. By the way, you do not know how many hours have gone into screening all of the different missionaries that would like to be a part of this particular conference, and then bringing it down to the 20 to 25 couples that will be coming to the conference. You'll get your bulletin. I don't think you've got them yet, but you'll find that many of these are missionaries that have been on the field, and many of them have had some very difficult times, and they're back in America for a few months of some rest and relaxation and meeting the churches that support them and so forth. And I trust as they come that each of us will pray, dear God, help me to be a blessing to these people. Take time to go to their tables and meet them and find out some of the things that they need and begin to pray for them and pray that God will use them as they're in Sunday school classes and as they're in different groups and as they mingle with our people. Pray for them. And then you'll have missionaries that are on what we call deputation. And that means night after night, they're somewhere trying to present the needs that God has put on their heart to churches so that they can raise their support and raise their financial support and their prayer support so they can get to the mission field. Let's be conscious of them and let's pray for them as they come this way. And then, by the way, don't forget to pray for the speakers. At least one of them desperately needs your prayers, amen? You know how weak he is and how old he is, okay? So pray. You know, there's just so many things that we need to pray about. Pray about each session of the conference. Saturday night, that's going to be a great night. Just meeting all the missionaries. Find out where they come from, how God called them and so forth. Hey, that can be a great impact meeting within itself. The two services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, the chapel services. I mean, there will be so many things going on day after day. And just take the bulletin that you have and the sermon notes and Think of some of these things that you need to be praying about day after day. Then each of us as believers, we need to be praying the prayer that God asks us to pray. Look at Matthew 9, chapter 9 and verse 35. You hear all kind of prayer requests. But here's a prayer request that Jesus made. Look at it very carefully. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And by the way, when you get a chance, not while I'm preaching tonight, okay? But after you get home tonight, read all of chapter 9 and find all of the people that Jesus ministered to. But then in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, and oh, I trust this year we'll get a glimpse of the multitudes of the people that desperately need Jesus. Notice what happened. When he saw the multitudes, he was frustrated and wanted to get away from them. No. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. That's our Lord. Amen. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And could I suggest tonight, the harvest has never been more plenteous than in 2012. In fact, there are more people living on the face of the earth right now than the sum total of those who live from the time of Adam and Eve till the year 1820. There are more people in one generation than all of those years put together. What a great multitude. Okay, what's the answer to reaching that great multitude? Verse 38. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And by the way, if you wouldn't be willing to go yourself, there wouldn't be much need praying. If you would not be willing for your children and your grandchildren to go to the mission field, there wouldn't be much need praying. Because so many times when we get a burden for a field and begin to pray about it, many times God will say, wonderful, that's your job. Or that's the job of your children, or that's the job of your grandchildren. I heard a story years ago about a man who had prayed earnestly that God would send somebody from their church to the mission field. And the church had never had a person from their church to go to the mission field. One Sunday morning after the message, a young man walked down the aisle and confessed to the church, God has called me to Africa as a missionary. And the elderly deacon that had been praying for all of those years were heard to utter, Lord, I meant somebody, but I didn't mean him. Because that young man was his grandson. Hey, since God gave his only begotten son to come to this earth as a missionary, should we not be willing to go ourselves or to have our children and our grandchildren to go to the mission field? We need to begin to pray for laborers. Then I need personally to begin to pray about my faith promise commitment. And by the way, Tuesday night when we take the faith promise commitments, that will be the voting time for our church to determine what we as a church will be doing for missions in the new year. And I hope that you'll take some time between now and then to earnestly pray about what God would have you to do for world evangelization above and beyond your tithe and offering. I never cease to be amazed with this fact that 20% of the people in any church gives 80% of all that's given. And that means that the 80% give just 20%. And the sad thing is that many people give next to nothing for the work of world evangelization. Would this be a year when every member of Lancaster Baptist Church would take seriously our privilege and our obligation to get totally involved in giving so the whole world can hear about Jesus Christ? The Bible simply puts it this way: every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You say, oh, brother says, I'd love to give. Well, thank God. The next verse says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. In other words, if you're willing to give it, God will provide for you. I didn't say that. God did. Amen. Prayer. A couple of other things. Relax. The last two will be shorter, okay? I could not help but think tonight, man, with those chairs so comfortable and people tired and just haven't eaten, it's going to be a tough time tonight, amen? I mean, those chairs would be very easily to sleep in, amen? So don't go to sleep just yet, okay? Two other simple things. Number two, the gathering. The gathering. We think of prayer. That's an important part of this great meeting. Then the gathering. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, we as the Lancaster Baptist Church will gather together. What kind of gathering was it? And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Many of you are familiar with it. But you remember when Peter finally was convicted of the fact that he should preach to Gentiles. And God showed him that by showing him all kind of the unclean animals and then teaching him that what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. In other words, God is no respecter of person. Look at verse 39. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. In other words, God is not only willing to save the Jewish people, but God is willing to forgive and save the Gentile people. And then Peter goes to the place where God had directed him. And when he got there, he found a large number of people waiting for him. Look at verse 24. And on the morrow, after they had entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his friends. In other words, the many people had gathered together. Think about what kind of a gathering it was. Number one, we find Peter expressing a new mindset. And he gives this mindset in verse 34. God is no respecter of person. Peter would not have said that a few days earlier. But now he has learned something. Then we find that he preached the word of God. Now let's go back a little bit, okay? B, let us come with a expectancy. When Cornelius and all of these people came together, they were expecting something from God. Now, when you come to church Saturday night, when you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, don't just come so you can be present. But wouldn't it be wonderful if every service when we came, we would come expecting God to do something. Not just meeting, but God do something. A young preacher said to Charles Haddon Spurgeon one time, Mr. Spurgeon, I don't see much result from my preaching. I preach often, but I don't see much result. And Spurgeon said to him, well, son, you don't expect God to do something every time you preach, do you? And he said, well, no, I guess I don't. He said, that's the reason he don't. So many times we come to church, but we really don't expect God to do anything. When we come to church Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, for the missionary to come, let's come with a heart that is expecting God to do something. Not just another meeting, but God to do something. And then they came with a receptive heart. They were willing to receive what God had for them. Remember the words of Samuel? Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. When you come for the mission conference, the various sessions, I hope you'll come with that kind of a heart. And you'll be saying, speak, Lord, thy servant here. And you'll see presentations from different mission fields all around the world. And I trust that young and middle-aged and old people and all of us will be willing to say, dear Lord, speak to my heart about what you would have me to do about the great multitudes of lost people around the world. Receptive heart. Then in closing, notice the miraculous results. The miraculous result. Peter expressed a new mindset. God is no respecter of person. Then he preached the word. Look at it for just a minute with me, would you? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. By the way, that's what they needed to hear. Amen. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up. Now, wait a minute. What did Peter preach? He preached the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, knowing the Lancaster Baptist pulpit, if they don't preach the word here, they won't ever preach again. Amen. The word will be preached, and God will bless his word. I like verse 44. Before Peter finished his message, God did a miraculous work. Verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake. Now, I've been interrupted during my preaching by a lot of things. And most of the time, it's bad, all right? But isn't it wonderful when preaching gets interrupted by the work of the Holy Spirit of God? Now, I remember on one occasion, even during the midst of a message, people began to come to the altar in good number. And I didn't get to finish my message, and that's all right. Now, I guess Peter was a little bit disappointed. He said, I've got a lot more notes. I've got several more points here. But while he was yet preaching, look what happened. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the words. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The preparation was prayer time. The preparation was the gathering together of the people. The miraculous work was the preaching of the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question tonight. In your own mind, what would be the great results of this year's mission conference? If you could just sit down and make out a list. Lord, if this could happen, I believe it would be a great conference. Let me give you my list. Number one, that each of us would be more involved in world evangelization. Each of us. Missions is not the job of a few people. World evangelization is the job of every believer. Every believer. Number two, that members of Lancaster Baptist Church would be called into missions. Young people, children, young married people, middle-aged people. By the way, God doesn't quit calling when we get 20, 25 years old, okay? Thank God some even get called in latter years to be missionaries and go. Let's pray that God would call some people to the mission field. Let's pray for our Bible school students. Some 975 of them, that many of them would see the great need of going to the uttermost parts of the earth and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third thing, that those who have answered the call would be determined to go. Sad to say, but in camp meetings and in mission conferences and in chapel services and so forth, of the number of people that respond and say, I believe God has called me to the mission field, sad to say, only a small percentage of those really go to the mission field. And let's pray that God will really work on the hearts of those who have been called to be determined to go. Just recently, I read again about the early days of Hudson Taylor and everything that could possibly prevent somebody from going to the mission field happened to this young man, but he was so determined that he put aside all of those. And in spite of the thinking of most of the people in England, he went to China. And we know the history. Thousands followed him, and millions were saved. Let's pray that those who have been called will be determined. Number four, that our faith promise would increase. Just a few minutes before I came to church tonight, I looked at my faith promise or my commitment last year, and that indicated that for 47 years, my wife and I had increased our faith promise giving every year. We first learned about it in 1968. This will be our 45th year to make a commitment. And as I looked at my commitment last year, and I've already determined, by God's grace, I will increase my commitment this year. And I believe it would be a great testimony to the faith of Lancaster Baptist Church that our mission commitments would continue to grow and grow and grow year after year. I love a little saying I heard years ago. I want you to say it with me, and we'll be saying it every time I speak, okay? Repeat after me, okay? Everyone giving something. And everyone giving more than they ever gave before. Now, that's pretty weak, okay? You can do better than that, okay? Let's do it enthusiastically, okay? Everyone giving something. And everyone giving more than they ever gave before. Now, if all of the people who have never gotten involved in Faith Promise would begin to give something, and all of us who have been involved would give more, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out, our Faith Promise commitment will increase. Number five, that our church would continue to reach the many different ethnic groups that God has put in our community. You don't have to go door knocking very much in Lancaster to realize that God has brought the mission field to our very community. And that we keep having a heart for all of the different ethnic groups that God has brought to this community. I love Lancaster Baptist Church. It is such a diversity of people. Amen. And let's pray that God will continue to do that. In closing, let me make a statement. As each of us pray, gather together, and give ourselves to the Lord, these things will happen. It's not just a vain hope, but these things will happen. Let's not wait for Sunday. Tonight, let each of us do business with God. Let's us who are here on Wednesday evening pray the prayer of the psalmist. Search me and try me and see if there be anything in me that would hinder Lancaster Baptist Church from being the great impact for world evangelization that we ought to be.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.